Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf. I believe, Kevin, you've got Lincoln on us this week.
That's right. I'm channeling my inner Matthew McConaughey. Every now and then, when I'm driving down the road, I start talking to myself. And sometimes it actually makes sense. But if you're that comfortable in a vehicle, it must be because you're driving a Lincoln. And this Lincoln is well-equipped, as you would expect. But the best part is, it's a certified pre-owned Lincoln, a 2013 MKX. All-wheel drive, has everything you would expect in a brand-new vehicle, and drives, looks, and feels like a brand-new vehicle, but the price is a little bit lower. So if you want to find out all the safety points that they check, and there's about 200 of them to make sure this car is as new as possible, check out the certified pre-owned from Lincoln and Sunbury Motors and find out more about the 2013 MKX all-wheel drive that we're featuring this week on my Facebook page and at Kevin Herr on Twitter, or you could stop by and see the folks in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and say, hey, listen, I want to talk about a certified pre-owned Lincoln because I want the luxury and I want affordability in the price, too. They'll help you out.
I sense it's going to be a real fight with them on Friday when you have to turn that one in.
I don't know. I sat in the vehicle. I pushed the push button start and went, all right.
All right, let's talk about quarterbacks. Appears to be a favorite topic of many. And we bring in Penn State's quarterback coach, Ricky Ronnie. Ricky, welcome. Great to have you on the show for the first time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Listening to your upcoming guests, it seems like you're building from the bottom up, so that's good. So I know, at least I'm ahead of Sean Spencer, so I know that. So
well,
I'm good to go.
Like I said, yeah, we had Gattis and Spencer, so now you're third up on the.
All right, hey, there's a totem pole. That's okay.
Yep, you're into it. All right. For you, okay, 1 year later, and this is a question you're getting from a lot of people, but 1 year later, just the difference of being settled in a system and your quarterback is settled in the system with you.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as we go through spring practice, I'm just able to see Christian and just really all the quarterbacks in general just play. You know, they're able to let their God-given natural ability take over a little bit more instead of thinking all the time and that sort of thing. And I think that's really what I'd like to see this spring is, you know, the guys are playing a little bit faster, balls coming out a little bit faster, a little bit cleaner. And, you know, that's just because it's just everything, it's the second, third, fourth time through. And so everything happens a little bit more naturally.
In the scheme of this offense, how important is the short passing game, and can a lot feed off of a short passing game?
Yeah, you know, I think in every offense it's important. You know, if you look at it, no matter if you're pure pro style, if you're a hybrid, if you're a spread, no matter what you are, the short passing game is going to allow you to do everything else, and it's going to allow your run game to be better. It's going to allow your vertical passing game to be better. It's going to allow you to, you know, feel more comfortable taking shots because you know you've got maybe a completion in the bag a little bit later and things like that. So I think that that short passing game, that's the thing that kind of all offenses build on now. You know, it's used to be the power running game, and I think now even a little bit more, it's more the short passing game and screens and things like that.
Christian's what out? Was he 20 years old now?
And he might be. He might be. 20 going on about 28, I think. Yeah. He is. It's funny. Sometimes people don't. They kind of don't know how young he is.
And you have signs up in the building, and number 5 on the list as they exit the building out the back is ignore the noise. He seems to be a guy that a lot of people seem to assume what he thinks. without him actually ever saying it. Has that been tough to deal with at times, that a lot of people assume what he's thinking and you as your coach sit there and you talk it out and you know what he's thinking?
Yeah, I think that, you know, he spoke on this a little bit publicly lately. It's okay to play the game with a little bit of passion, and the game is supposed to be played with passion. And with that, you know, if every one of us had a camera on us at all times, and no matter what somebody told us or what happened in our daily lives, there was a camera on us, and they filmed our facial expressions and things like that, I'm not sure any of us would like the results. Right. You know, so I think that, yeah, people a lot of times assume what he's thinking, and they make some pretty drastic assumptions when, you know, really, it might be something completely different, you know. And I think that Christian's handled all that very, very well. I think that comes from his parents and the way he was brought up. I think he's handled those things well. I really like having him as a leader of our offense. And I'm excited to be able to coach him again this year.
Okay. Where is he better right now, Ricky?
I think his footwork. I think his footwork is 10 times better. And it's not that he ever had poor footwork. It's the consistency of his work this spring is better. And that's going to make everything else go from there. It's going to help his decision-making, his completion percentage, really everything. So I've been pleased with how he's focused on that, and I've been pleased with where he's progressed.
Fans haven't had a chance to see the other guys. So let's get to some of the other guys. Trace McSorley is now into his second year in all of this. Where is he better when you watch him, Ricky, and what does his mobility give him?
You know, his mobility, I'll start there, it just gives him a chance to extend plays. It makes the defense a little bit more hesitant on teeing off and things like that. Where he's better is he just understands the speed of college football and what throws he can make, what throws he can't make, and things like that. And I think that's where, you know, last year was a great experience for him, getting a lot of reps at the second team all year. And really, he's had a tremendous spring. Been very, very, very pleased with him.
Tommy Stevens. Now you're talking about he's 17 or 18. I'm not even sure if he's 18 yet. All right. True freshman trying to learn this at once. What has that been like, and how careful are you with how much you do give him?
Yeah, I have to remind myself that he is, you know, that he should be preparing for the prom right now, you know, and that sort of thing. I mean, it's like, you know, a college offense, I don't care where you are, when it's all the defenses, especially all the looks our defense presents us. I mean, it's you know, information overload. It's, you know, it's like drinking water out of a fire hose. So, you know, he's done a really nice job. He has great spatial awareness and really understands the game, where the holes are in defenses and things like that. His is just going to be able to take command of the offense and, you know, all the little nuances that he's going to have to do in order to make the offense the most successful it can be. But, you know, we've been pleased with the way the ball's been coming off his hand, been pleased with his attitude and things like that. And, you know, I think he's got a bright future as well.
What have you seen in arm strength? What do you think of Tommy Stevens' arm strength? And B, has Trace McSorley's improved his arm strength courtesy of the program that Dwight Galt's put him through?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Trace is stronger, and so there is his arm strength going to improve. I think that he's always been a little underrated in terms of how well he throws the ball in general and his arm strength. So I never really questioned that with him. Tommy has college level arm strength as well, and he's able to attack all parts of the field, and that just, you know, that makes it, you know, it just makes it better because it's able to stretch the defense out. They know they can't say, okay, hey, that field flat, he can't throw it there. No, well, we can, and he can. All the guys I have can, and that's really a plus because it spreads people out and gives us more holes, and eventually it's, you know, going to lead to more running lanes and things like that.
Ricky, we can talk about arm strength all we want. I mean, that's a huge plus. I mean, obviously having a great arm is a huge plus. You know, you want to put a guy on one hash mark and have him throwing out 15 yards on the far side of the field, and the ball gets there, it's not going to get picked. What about the accuracy part? I know you put a big premium on that. Have your quarterbacks become more accurate with the timing of what you want to do as time has gone on?
Well, I think that the last point is a critical point that you brought up, is it's timing. It's timing and accuracy. And you know, you can be as accurate as you want, but if the timing's off, then it's going to be in trouble. And you can have great timing, but if the accuracy is off, it's going to be in trouble. You know, like you said, arm strength is a bonus. You know, timing, right, and accuracy are the keys, and that's the precision that we want to pass with. I think this spring I've seen an improvement in that. And again, especially with Trace, especially with Christian and even Billy Fessler, I've seen an improvement with that with all the guys, because it's their third time through this, and they know what to expect. They know, okay, if this is taken away, I go right here. And the timing is just so much better to our second and third reads. And that's where I've really seen the main improvement.
And that speed of the game, the ability to get your progressions and to do it, I mean, have you seen deeper progressions just because of pure experience?
Yeah, I think I've seen deeper progressions, and I've also seen, okay, you know, our offensive line has done a tremendous job this spring, and they've shown a great improvement, and we've been able to go through our progression. And the times when maybe it has broke down a little bit because our defensive line is so good, our quarterbacks, I've seen them know what to do next, whether it's the check down, whether it's run, whether it's whatever, throw the ball away. I've seen that be quicker, and that's going to help out our offensive line. It's going to help out our running backs. It's going to help out Coach Donovan, you know, tremendously. And ultimately, it's going to help out our whole team because field position changes and all sorts of things. So that's where that, you know, what to do now, maybe when things aren't perfect, I have seen an improvement in that.
There's a different speed quotient with this team as well. With yards after the catch, what kind of damage can a team do when there's yards after the catch? And this goes back to the accuracy question.
Yeah, it comes back to timing and accuracy for the quarterback. You know, our job is to get the right guy the ball at the right time in the right spot. And so, you know, the run after the catch is going to happen when we deliver it on time, accurate, whether it's to the outside shoulder, to the inside, wherever, throwing it away from the defense on time. And that's going to let our guys, you know, go and make some plays, you know. And that's sometimes it's all on, you know, people all look, oh, the wide arms, you know, they're not getting in run after the catch. The running backs, you know, aren't breaking tackles and things like that. A lot of times the quarterback needs to give them the ball in a position where they can make that happen. And you know, I have seen more of that. You know, obviously we haven't done live every day, but I've seen our wideouts be a really, really aggressive and run after the catch, and Coach Gattis has done an unbelievable job with that this spring.
You mentioned in a previous answer, and I was going to get to him, Billy Fessler. Billy Fessler last year took ownership of that scout team, that's great to see a quarterback want to do that. What improvement have you seen in the left-hander?
You know, Billy is a great leader. And like you said, he took ownership of that scout team, and that's critical. And he really, really is very prideful about that. And that's awesome. And I've seen him, you know, his leadership in general, he has great leadership skills come out this spring. You know, he's been put in some situations where they've had to come out. You know, he had a 2-minute drill where he went down the other day and led us to a field goal, you know. So that was a great thing. So, you know, he's been put in some situations where he's been able to, you know, do some things, and I've been proud that, you know, he's come through.
It's difficult, though, during the season. There's only so many quarterbacks you can get ready for a game. Explain that part of it about how many you can really get ready for the game because of the limited practice time you have, and what a guy has to do on scout team to improve themselves.
Yeah, you know, the guy on scout team, he's got an interesting job. He's got to get the defense prepared, and so sometimes that means he's making a throw or making a read that he may not make. Other than that, you know, but it's something that, you know, Coach Shoup wants to see. It's something that our defensive coaches want to see. And so he's going to, you know, do something, you know, that maybe he wouldn't do otherwise. So that can be frustrating. But what you've got to be able to do down there is you've got to be able to, you've got to make it a competitive situation for you all the time. And I think the guys have done a great job on that. In terms of preparing quarterbacks, you know, two, you can get prepared.
Yeah.
Three is questionable whether you can get three prepared. And that's kind of the limit, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, what you're hoping is during the week, during film study, during all the other things, that you can get as many mental reps for the other guys as possible so that when they do get their chance, they're not, you know, they're as far ahead as they can possibly be.
Have you been able to finally beat your kids at Wii? I mean, that's what I...
You know, that was, first of all, that you know, I know what you're referencing right now, the PSU Unrivaled piece.
Yes.
And that sort of thing. The thing about that one that was unbelievable was that was the one time I ever beat him, and they made it look like he beat me. And so I was kind of, you know, I was kind of I was like, come on, a little credit, you know. I finally got him, and then they made me look like I'm getting whipped. So, but no, he's pretty good, and he's getting better all the time, and. So now I'm going to have to start moving on to the three-year-old to see if I can pick up a win.
Ricky, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate the time very much.
All right. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Ricky Ronnie, Penn State quarterback coach, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Welcome back. Our thanks to Ricky Ronnie, head football coach James Franklin tomorrow, and Terry Smith on Friday. And then we're going to get Jim Delaney in the show in the next week to 10 days. So that's what we have coming up. Ricky, of course, we're referring to the guest list, which he says, hey, all right, stepping up from Sean Spencer and Josh Gattis. So, and Kevin's still mad I didn't take a picture of the car yesterday.
That's all right. I got one up on Facebook and Twitter. If you haven't seen the Jeff Gordon Penn State car, you can visit at Steve Jones PSU. Follow him on Twitter, or you can also find it on our Steve Jones Show Facebook page.
Yeah. Well, by the way, with that, he's going to race that June 7th at Pocono.
At Pocono, yep.
I think, they race twice at Pocono, don't they?
Yes, June and August. I think it's the beginning of August. And then the IndyCar race is at the end of August. I believe that's the schedule this year.
Okay. Sounds good. We're looking forward to it very much. Hey, he's done this one other time. He did it at Texas A&M. And
probably at Texas Motor Speedway.
I'm going to guess. But, yeah, so he did the Texas A&M colors, so this time he's doing it the Penn State colors. And it does say Penn State on the rear panel area.
Rear quarter panel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on the car.
Did you happen to hear about the new rule in the Big 12 for tennis? Now, a lot of schools are dropping tennis because of economic issues. So to keep people interested in tennis, you can now speak as a fan, heckle, chant, cheer, do whatever you want while play is in, while the volley is in motion, or while a player is serving. I thought that was really interesting. Can you imagine at Wimbledon? Imagine at Wimbledon, all of a sudden, Venus Williams goes to serve and somebody goes, yo! I just can't see this in tennis.
Well,
I mean, what are the umpires going to say? There are no more, quiet, please.
Now, I realize it's a tradition, but in baseball, you got people doing the wave and the ball's being thrown at you 96 miles per hour.
A friend of mine says if you're doing the wave in a baseball game, you shouldn't be at a baseball game.
Well, he's got a point.
If you're busy doing the wave, and he said half the time they're doing the wave, the game's going on.
Yeah.
I said, I have to agree with you, Eric. I didn't pay $50 to actually do the wave. I came to watch the game and grab Dollar Dog Nights, too.
Dollar Dog Night.
My favorite
Made with you in mind.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Pocono International Raceway has already reached out to Kevin, appreciating his tweet about the Jeff Gordon car. They love you.
They've been nice to us over the years.
Yes, they have. Good to see Kevin Henry there, by the way. Kevin worked here at Penn State for a long time. And then got a job at Pocono, where he's done a great job there. And I'm not surprised Kevin does well at everything he does. But he was on hand yesterday. I should see him back. On campus, as a matter of fact. Very, very nice. So there's a connection for us at Pocono. It's Kevin Henry just, you know, does a great job. You're all excited because Ryan Howard's out of the lineup tonight as your hating of the All-Star continues.
Frenchie's going to be in the 4 slot, and Ruff's going to be in the 5 playing first base tonight.
Who's in the 4 spot?
Frenchie.
Who?
Francoeur. Frenchie.
Oh. He's been with the team 8 games. You got a nickname for him in 8 games?
I don't have a nickname for him. That's just the nickname they use.
Really? And you've taken
to it. I did not create it.
Wow. Interesting. All right, so he's in the 4 spot. So that answers your question. Who's in the 4 spot?
Yeah, well, you know, it's time. It's time to try something new.
Do you really think any of this is going to work?
No, but I'm willing to try. I mean, I'm not saying Darren Ruff is the answer, but, I mean, right now he seems to be playing a little bit better than Howard. It's not saying a whole lot, but
You just can't stand the guy.
You know, Frenchie's batting 250. Struck out 3 times in 20 at-bats.
Striking out means a lot to you.
It does when you do it an awful lot.
Oh.
Cody Ashe may be the best Philly right now on the team.
You know what? That's one that I didn't see. When he was at Williamsport, I didn't see this. I really didn't.
No, I understand that. I didn't think when he came up he was going to be much either.
I mean, certain guys that I've seen along the way where you say to yourself, yeah, I can see it. Like Alan Craig, who plays for the Red Sox, had all his good years with the Cardinals. You could see here he had a chance to move up and through. Tony Watson, when he was here, you could see he could move up and move through. I mean, you could see those things. Oh, I saw Cody Ashe play a dozen times. Like, really? Everybody matures at a different rate. How about that? It's matured at a different rate.
Jerome Williams getting the start for the Phillies. Big night last night.
They win?
Went 3-for-3.
Did they win?
I don't know. Chase Utley just went 3-for-3. That's all I care about right now. I'm not talking about anything else. Because you sat there yesterday, and you were ripping on Chase Utley.
No, I just recited the stats.
They did not win last night, by the way, just for the record.
Yeah, I know they didn't.
I know you knew they didn't. That's why I didn't answer it right away. I knew where you were headed. But Chase Utley went deep twice. Cody Ashe went deep once. And Frenchie went deep once. Maybe that's why you're seeing the change in the lineup. Let's be honest. If you have Chase Utley in the 3 slot and Ryan Howard in the 4 slot, are you gonna pitch around a struggling Chase Utley to get the Ryan Howard, or are you going to try and pitch the Chase Utley and not worry about Ryan Howard? Either way, I think you're going to... I would rather pitch around a struggling Chase Utley and pitch to Ryan Howard right now. How many guys can you say that bat in the 4 slot? Not many. I'll answer that for you.
You think they're pitching around Chase Utley?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, theoretically and just for the sake of an argument here, that Ryan Howard right now in the 4 slot doesn't scare me. And if Utley even gets hot, I'd consider pitching around him to get to Ryan Howard. That's what was the point I was trying to make. I went about it a really weird way, but
okay.
Cody Ashe hitting .429 right now for the Phils.
Yeah, he's playing well. He's playing very, very well. Pirates lost last night 2-0. Green was great. Green was great last night.
3 hits, though.
That's all he gave up.
Yeah. That's a rough offensive night for the Pirates at home.
Well, and they made a defensive mistake, too, that wasn't great. And it was McCutchen that made it. Iglesias got a base hit to center field. Now, McCutchen's playing deeper. But McCutchen did something you just can't do in any game. He was running to it, then he slowed down to get to it, and he assumed that he'd held him to a single. And Iglesias then decided to bolt for second, and he caught everybody napping. Eventually, he scored the second run.
By the way, with games going on today, Boston actually trying to mount a comeback here in the bottom of the ninth, down 10-5. They were down 10-2 at one point in that game, I think.
Yeah, they were.
Bottom of the seventh, the Angels leading Texas 10-1. A real close game there. Two finals already. Cleveland doubling up the Chi Sox 4-2.
And are they wearing new uniforms?
I know. That's the different Cleveland. They are not using Chief Wahoo anymore, though. It's just a red C in the logo, at least as far as MLB, as far as Major League Baseball's use of their logo for Cleveland. Miami beat Atlanta 6-2 today to move to 3-6 on the season.
Wow.
On Jackie Robinson Day.
Yes, everybody's wearing 42, right?
Yeah, that's got to be confusing.
That would bother you?
No, I said it's confusing. I didn't say it bothered me. It'd just be a game, and, you know, you don't see... It's not a... You know, you're doing like a national broadcast.
I say. Okay. So you're up to date. And, okay, the draft is held draft. This is tax day. We're 15 days away from the start of the draft. You were all excited yesterday that Jesse James was being visited by the Steelers.
Well, I know the Steelers, I know there's been a lot of tight ends that have visited the Steelers, but I do like the fact that he's on their radar. I think that's great.
See, Ross Travis has opted for the NFL draft.
I did see that today.
Mm-hmm. I got a call last week about that.
From Ross?
No. representation of.
Oh.
And so what do you think of this? And I said, look, I see Jimmy Graham. Antonio Gates played against Penn State when he was at Kent State. I said, he's a little different body makeup than these guys. I said, but one thing he does do that when he goes up for the ball with two hands, which in football is a must, I said, he will get the ball at the high point. I said, and he has enough springs in his legs where he'll get up over people. Yeah, I went through a couple of other things with them about him, but you know, those are the positives and the high points I talked about.
Sorry.
I was talking about what?
You were talking about the NFL draft, and today, something that we've talked about many times is not supposed to happen, as I understand. Wonderlic test came out, scores came out again. I thought that was supposed to be private.
Well.
And it appears as though Winston scored 27 out of 50.
It's good. It's a good number.
And Mariota scored 33.
It's a really good number.
Peyton Manning, by the way, had a 28 when he took the test.
Also, Peyton Manning had one of the worst pro days anybody ever had.
Is the Wonderlic test a really good representation of anything? I mean, really?
Well, I don't want you scoring a 5.
Well, who was it that scored a five? There was a running back.
Oh, Vince Young scored a 6.
Oh no, there was a running back I thought that scored a 5. Oh, I don't know. Well, go ahead. It'll come to me.
Well, I'm just saying that. Hey, look, I think there's a certain threshold where if they're underneath, I don't know, 15, I've got concerns. Because you got to remember, I'm talking about people. I need to retain my playbook. Okay? How about that? They need to retain my playbook.
All right. Yeah, I can understand that. That seems all right.
And an NFL playbook isn't, okay, we're going to go run a square out, a square in, or whatever. It's complicated, and there are checkdowns, and there's a lot of pre-snap stuff that you have to do that's going to make a difference in the play. What you see, how you reason it, how quickly you do it. There's a 40-second clock. Oh, and by the way, while they're relaying the play into you, that 40-second clock is running. So that's an issue. That's why I don't want Wonderlic test scores that are in the 5 to 15 range. It's just not going to... That's a problem.
Still trying to find that. Running back that had that low score. I think he was a. Oh, there it is. Freddie Gore. Yeah. Or Frank Gore, rather. Frank Gore. That was the one I was trying to think of.
He's had a nice long career.
Yeah. He actually scored a six.
Okay.
He actually scored a six on the Wonderlic.
Okay. Well, it would still make me wary of it. How about that?
I mean, what are the basis for the questions of this test?
I took it.
I remember you saying you took it.
And my score was fine.
I mean, this is a 50 question test. It's actually timed out.
Yes. Yeah.
So, like, give me an example of one of the questions.
I'm trying to remember now if it's one of those reasoning questions, like, have X amount of apples, whatever. Bob has 8 Corvettes.
the ones I hate are, what's the next in the series?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find any sample. Oh, here's a sample question. Round 907.457 to the nearest 10th place.
Okay.
What's the average of 12, 15, 23, and 10?
Okay.
Oh, here you go. Monday, and now again, this is a timed test. So that's what makes
that
it.
12.3, by the way.
I don't know, but that's fine. Monday and Thursday. Monday and Thursday lunch costs $5.43. Tuesday and Wednesday lunch costs $3.54 each day. On Friday, lunch cost $7.89. What was the average daily cost? All right, you lost me at Tuesday at that point.
Yeah, I had a feeling I did. So,
you know, like, I can round to the nearest 100th place. That makes sense to me. I could do that.
Good.
But when you start throwing in what's the average cost of lunch, I go with there's A, B, C, D, E. I go F. Too much, you should have packed.
Yeah.
Over the course of a week, Fred spent $28.49 on lunch. What was the average cost per day? Okay. Did he go out for lunch
$7,
five? But did he go 7 days? It doesn't say that. If it's seven days,
then
you're assuming it's 7 days. But that question is misleading.
It's $4.07 if it's 7 days.
What if Fred went to work and he didn't go on Saturday and Sunday and he ate at home on Saturday and Sunday? You don't know that because the question doesn't tell you how many days he actually ate. I am now smarter than the Wonderlic test. You're assuming he went to eat 7 days. Doesn't say that. It just says over the course of a week.
Okay. How many days were in a week?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Over the course of a week, it doesn't say he went out 7 days over the course of a week. It doesn't say he went out 5 days over the course of a week. You're assuming he went out 7 days.
No, I see.
I'm smarter than the test.
No, like I said, I took the test just to see it. So I did just fine. I mean, is 47 a good number?
I would think.
Yeah. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, tomorrow, James Franklin on the show. Friday, Terry Smith. And, of course, as I mentioned, we're going to have Jim Delaney on the show. It's been confirmed that he will do it. Now it's a question of just now us working out day and time, so forth. Okay?
Date and time to be announced.
So, and to let everyone know that Kevin was able to get the Jeff Gordon car out there after I failed the show yesterday.
Well, the good news is we're going to let you come back tomorrow.
I failed because I didn't bring a cell phone to the event. And
I believe that everybody deserves a second chance, Stephen.
Yeah.
And you and I have been friends for a long time, so I think you deserve it.
Concentrated on the event. Oh, well.
Don't let it happen again.
Sorry. James Franklin tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And also trying to work on getting Christian Hackenberg, too. How about that?